Hallelujah. Praise God. One more time, let's love him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I want to turn your attention to John, the 18th chapter, and I have it up here on the screen for you. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Everybody say, Judas knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples, or Jesus went there often with his disciples. And then Matthew 26:47 says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And then finally, last but not least, Psalm 55:12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Amen. This is a prophecy about Judas here, where he said, it was not an enemy that reproached me. It was somebody that I took sweet counsel with. It was a friend. And I want to speak to you for a little bit about the closer the hurt, the nearer the hope. Let's lift our hands one more time unto the Lord and ask for his blessings. Lord, we pray that every hindrance would be removed today, Lord, that your spirit would be able to flow in this service, that you'd be able to speak to us from your word today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. The book of Psalms is a prophecy of Jesus' betrayal at the hand of Judas, something that we remember every year about this time on Good Friday. But it says that Judas knew the place, and the scriptures say that Judas betrayed him with a kiss. This all took place in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. We've all heard of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a garden of olive trees, and the name Gethsemane means oil press, a place where oil is squeezed out of olives, where pressure is applied. Because in order to get the oil out, sometimes you have to, well, not sometimes, always, you have to apply pressure. And olive oil was used in ancient times, and it's, I would imagine, still used. Sister Naomi, you're the expert on the oils. So presumably there's still a lot of good uses for olive oil. But olive oil is one of those things that has been around for centuries. And when you live in a desert environment where everything is dry, and there's just not a lot of moisture, and it, you know, something like olive oil carried a very, very important use and very held an important place because it was soothing. Oil was applied to dry skin. And it was something that made things better in that respect. So what I see, Brother Jeremy, is I see a dual symbolism in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because the name says it was the place where the oil was pressed. But it was, you know, it was a soothing place. It was a peaceful place, like the oil that it produced. Because just like the oil was used to soothe your skin, it was a place that Jesus could go to and just relax. It was a place that Jesus could get away from the crowds. It was a place that he could get away from the hustle and the bustle and the hectic world that surrounded him, and he could go and find peace. But it was also a place where the oil was squeezed out. It was also a place where there would be a pressing, where there would be pressure. And so when we think about the Garden of Gethsemane nowadays, we think about the place where Jesus spent prayer just before the crucifixion. The Bible says that Jesus, though, was accustomed or wont to go there. That's an old English way of saying that it was a place that he went to often. If you could look at it in this way, the Garden of Gethsemane was Jesus's personal private retreat. It was his getaway. It was his hideout. It was his vacation home, in modern terminology. But it was a place where he could escape from the crowds. But you have to remember that the oil had to be pressed out before it could be used. And so not only was Gethsemane a place where Jesus could go to relax, but it was also a place, Brother Shorter, where he went to travail. It was also a place where he went to get that a place to get alone, and just where he could just cry out, where he could just pray, and where that anointing and that holy oil of the Holy Ghost could be pressed out of him until his voice was hoarse. Has anybody ever prayed like that before? There was a pressing of the oil in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then Jesus could leave the garden and he could go out and he could minister to other people. One thing you've got to understand today, listen to me, folks, is before God can use you, he's going to have to press you. Amen. Before God can do something great in your life like he wants to do in you and through you, sometimes he has to squeeze us. And it's not always a pleasant process. And it's not always fun and games. But God is squeezing something out of you so that you can become a blessing to somebody else. Amen. You know, you can sit in a place in a comfort zone, and you can sit in a place and just rock along and do everything and never have your world turned upside down, but God loves you too much to let you sit there. I said God loves you too much to let you stay in that place. And so what he does is he starts to apply the pressure, just like the pressure was applied to the oil. And he says, I know this is not comfortable, and I know that this hurts right now, and I know that this is not what you want to go through right now, but I've got a bigger calling, and I've got a bigger work, and I've got a bigger purpose for you, and I'm going to squeeze it out of you one way or the other. But the Bible said that Judas, and this is what I really want to focus on, is Judas knew the place well. Let that sink in just a minute. Judas knew that this was Jesus' getaway. Judas knew that this was Jesus' hideaway. Judas knew that this was Jesus' private place. That this was the one place where the disciples were invited to and where he could be alone except for his inner circle of disciples. It was a place that Judas had shared many a moment of communion with Jesus over 3 years. It was here on the Mount of Olives that Jesus taught the disciples. I'm not talking about teaching the multitudes. I'm talking about intimate teaching. I'm talking about teaching the 12. I'm talking about where he talked to them about the end of time and the tribulation period. He talked to them about the parable of the talents. He talked to them about the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. It was here at the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus' disciples heard him pray. And when they heard him pray, they said, "Lord, you need to teach us how to pray like that." It was there in the garden that they saw a picture of Jesus and they saw a face of Jesus that nobody else saw. They saw a side of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that the crowds had no access to. They saw a side of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that the multitudes were not a part of. They were there when Jesus prayed at his most intimate moments. It was a place of good times. It was a place of praying together. It was a place of crying out together. It was a place of eating together. It was a place of fellowship together. It was a place of sharing one with another together. And Judas knew it. And he knew it well, because he had been invited to that inner place as one of the 12. And he was one of only 12 people that Jesus regularly took to his secret place. He was invited into the presence of God and then turned around and betrayed him. Think about that just a minute. Invited into the presence of God and then turned around and betrayed him. Amen. How could someone that shared so much with Jesus betray him? How could someone who saw the miracles and heard him pray then betray him? How could someone who ate with him, drank with him, prayed with him, wept with him, then turn around and betray him? You see, here's the thing, folks. How many of you have ever been betrayed by somebody close to you? Somebody that you deeply cared about. You know, it's one thing to be betrayed by a stranger. We've all had bad experiences with a rude waiter or waitress or a rude customer service representative or somebody we've never met before. We've all had experiences with those kinds of people. But there is something different about being hurt or betrayed by somebody that you have trusted. It is particularly painful when it's somebody that is close to you, somebody that you've spent time with, somebody that you've leaned on. In other words, the pain is greater when the hurt is closer. Isn't it? Listen, I want you to point out to you that as Jesus drew closer and closer to the crucifixion, the hurts and the betrayals got progressively closer and closer. Because the first people that turned on him were the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. The second group that turned on him was the crowds, the multitudes. He's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey one day, and they're crying, "Hosanna to God in the highest. He's the greatest thing that's ever come since sliced bread." And they're all for him. They're all in support of him. And then a week later, they were crying, "Crucify him." But you know something? I believe with all of my heart that was not the worst of it for Jesus. Because the crowds, he expected. I know he knew everything, but that couldn't make it feel any better. The crowds were going to reject him. That was just part of the deal. He knew the crowds were going to turn against him. But then one of his 12, one of his inner circle, Judas, turned on him. And Judas betrayed him. You see, he's getting closer to the cross. And the closer he gets to the cross, the more intimate the betrayals become. Unless some of you sit there and think that it was just Judas, your Bible says that when the soldiers finally came and got him, that the rest of the 12 left him. And so here Jesus is by himself. And I could see him saying, I knew the crowds were going to leave me. I knew that Judas was going to betray me. But now to see Peter walking away, to see James and Thaddeus and Bartholomew and Matthew and all of them leave him because they feared for their own lives. And so as he got closer and closer to the cross, more and more people began to abandon him. On the left and on the right, everybody was leaving him. And I contend today that the worst part of his suffering was not the physical abuse. It was not the crown of thorns that they placed on his head until the blood flowed down over his face. It was not the spitting in his face. It was not the stripes that were beaten into his back until it was bloody. It was not the nails in his hands or in his feet. But I believe that the most painful part of the whole experience was being betrayed by those that were closest to him. But I didn't tell you all of that to tell you that that's the end of the story. Because throughout all of this, every betrayal that Jesus went through was putting him one step closer to his destiny. Every betrayal, Satan knew that something big was coming, but he just didn't know what. And he started to ratchet up the pressure. There was the betrayal of the crowds. There was the betrayal of Gethsemane. There was the betrayal of the disciples. And all of that looked bad. But just 50 days later, there was going to be a 3,000 soul revival that was going to break out on the day of Pentecost. What are you saying to us, preacher? I'm saying to you that as the hurts get closer in your life, that just means that the hope is getting nearer. That means that God is about to do something special. And if you'll just hold on till it comes, he's going to work out a miracle in your life. The worse it gets in your life, the nearer is your breakthrough. It's bad when casual acquaintances are cruel to you. But when it's a family member, when it's a close friend, it hurts worse. But what does that mean? That means something big is just around the corner. When Jesus' disciples left him, all that meant was that his greatest triumph was just hours away. His greatest victory was just hours away. I'll tell you how bad it got. This is how bad it got for Jesus. Now, I'm about to, y'all know me. Sometimes I step into dangerous areas when I get to preach it. Because I preach things that other folks are, you know, they kind of just skip over them sometimes because it kind of makes us uncomfortable a little bit. But I'll tell you how bad it got. It got so bad that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This was a human being that was hanging. Yes, he was God manifest in the flesh, but he was 100% human, just like you and just like me. And the same kind of things went through his human mind as go through ours. And as he's hanging on the cross, I can imagine him saying, "My God, I've lost the crowds. I've lost Judas. I've lost Peter, James, and John. Where is God?" Has anybody ever got to a place where you wondered where God was in your life? It's one thing to be betrayed by the people that are close to you, but then you cry out to God. You say, "Where? Where are you? Where are you? Have you forsaken me?" When your friends have turned on you, when your family has betrayed you. Anybody ever been betrayed by family? When you pray and you can't seem to find God, and you start to wonder if God has left you all alone. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you today, this is the word from the Lord, that when you feel like that even God has betrayed you and forsaken you, I'm telling you that hope is just around the corner. Pentecost is coming. The resurrection is coming. God may be squeezing you right now. He may be squeezing you until you feel like there's nothing left to get out of you. You feel like there's no more oil left to you. But God says, I'm squeezing you because I've got a plan and I've got a purpose and I'm doing something in your life and it don't feel good right now, but I'm working something out in your life. God allowed Satan to torment Job and eventually worked through his friends. But what Job didn't know was that God was about to double his blessing. Satan attacked Joseph through his own brothers. He attacked Moses through his brother and his sister. He attacked Samson through his wife, Delilah. He attacked David through his son Absalom. He attacked the prophet Hosea through his wife. He attacked Daniel the prophet through his co-workers and his boss. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes you feel like, I just don't know what's going on, because it seemed like this hurt is so bad because it's somebody that I trusted. It's somebody that I thought was my friend. It's somebody that I thought was on my side. Amen. But I'm going to close with this. I'm going to tell you what Jesus didn't do. What Jesus didn't do is he did not allow himself to marinate in his misery. Because his glory was just around the corner. And you got to remember that as the betrayals become more and more personal in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't even know what this is. All I know is God spoke it to me earlier this week, and he's got a reason for it for somebody. Somebody right now has been hurt by someone close to you. And sometimes that pain can be more than you think that you could bear. But what he's saying is, there's about to be an opening. There's about to be a breakthrough. There's a door that's about to open up. Would you lift your hands, your voices with me right now? God is doing something in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and love him right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's entertain his presence. Is there somebody here that has been betrayed or felt betrayed here recently? Remember, Jesus was betrayed by the people that were closest to him. With every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. No one looking around, just the pastor. Is there anyone that'll slip a hand up in faith? I don't want anybody looking around, please. Is there anybody that will slip a hand up in faith and say, Pastor, I've been betrayed and I'm hurting right now and I need some healing in my life. I need some healing in my life. I want you to know the healing is just around the corner. Is there anybody else? Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost here today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus.
In the presence.
In the presence. In the presence.
Of Jehovah.
Oh yes.
God Almighty.
God Almighty. God
He's
Almighty.
He's the Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace.
Troubles vanish.
hearts are mended.
In the presence.
So I feel the Holy Ghost here today.
Oh,
I feel the Holy Ghost here today.
Of the King.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
He's the Prince of Peace.
I wonder if there's anybody ready to surrender.
Come
to the front here today and say, Lord, I surrender myself to whatever pressing, whatever squeezing you need to do in my life. I want to be used by you. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've never repented of your sins. Maybe you just need a refilling. Maybe you just need a refreshing. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let pride stop you.
In the presence.
Is there anybody else? Come on, I know there's somebody else today. Hallelujah. You don't have to carry that hurt alone. You don't have to carry that burden alone. Hallelujah. 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 Presence of the King.
Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty.
Vanish,
hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
I gotta say this. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but there is somebody that is weighed down with a lot of pain right now. But your problem is you have surrounded yourself with a shell. You've been hurt so many times that you have just put up just a thick coating around yourself, a hard shell to protect yourself. But the problem is that what's on the inside of that shell has never been able to heal, because you haven't let anybody inside.
Come on.
And the Lord says, I want to help you, but you're going to have to take down those barriers.
Come on.
And you say, but I can't trust, because I've been betrayed and I've been hurt.
Yeah.
But the Lord says, you're going to have to trust me. And that means you're going to have to lower those defenses. And you're going to have to let me in. In Jesus' name. Let's pray it right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for what we feel here today. Lord, you see the need. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs a renewing. Somebody needs a refreshing. Lord, I pray that the barriers would come down. that they would open up, that they would break down the walls. I know it's hard to be vulnerable again. It's hard to be open again. It's hard to be real. It's hard to open up. But you're speaking to somebody and you're saying, open up to me. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.